I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome to History Weaves. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we're going to talk about the death of Miss Bonnie Lee Blakely.
Blakely.
All right. Yeah, we're going to talk about her. She's a piece of work, Brandy. I mean, we don't like to, no one to be brutally murdered. Well, Colonel, I guess some people should be brutally murdered.
We don't like the victim judge on this show, but we're going to judge this woman kind of harshly, Timmy.
No, what?
Right.
Listen, let's make it through.
Okay. Well, I mean, like we were just discussing off mic that AT&T deserves a terrible death.
This is not the airing of grievances today.
It should be.
It's Festivus.
This is New Year's Eve. Getting ready for a new year, Colonel.
Well, 2023 has been
shit show.
Basically kicked me in the sack every morning that I got out of bed, Timmy.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. Literally. Sons of bitches.
I don't know, man. I think 2024 is going to be much worse. But
really,
let me introduce. Let me tell you.
Settle down, Chicken Little. Jesus God.
Is that we are a comedy podcast? You might not think we're a comedy podcast. You might not laugh at anything we say, but we are a comedy podcast, and we sometimes use adult language.
Well,
we
don't want to point fingers, Timmy, but we're on video, so we can point fingers now. There we go. There's the big finger being pointed at her.
Brandy sometimes uses foul language, but
sometimes so it's necessary.
Foul language offends you. You might want to check out a different podcast.
Well, they're probably going to do that after the show anyway. They're probably going to do it 15 minutes into this show. But
let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Did you have a Christmas message for your subjects?
Well, it's after Christmas. So I would just say, being a customer service worker at this point and having worked the holidays, I wish for all of people listening that they would act like they've been in public before and not like the assholes that come into my store who evidently cannot fucking get their shit together at the self-checkout.
So
that's all I'm asking.
just to be clear, I feel like you're using the word service loosely, generously there, because I could imagine being the poor bastard coming up to you at whatever establishment you're in and asking you for assistance on a day when it's not been a particularly good day for you.
First of all, let me tell you something.
She's like a Karen in reverse.
I'm not a Karen in reverse. Like there are plenty. There are plenty of Karens up here in Lebanon, but I am not one of them. I have met most of them now, but I am not one of them. And let me tell you something, Charles.
I mean, do you like keep your phone with you all the time so you can get a Karen in the wild?
I know, and I did.
Brandy's not a Karen. She's a caring. That's what Brandy is.
Thank you, Thad. Now, let me tell you something. And Chuck, tell me what you would do in this situation, okay? Because I'm just dying to know. This guy comes into my little self-checkout area, and he's on a self-checkout, and he's muttering and trying to scan this thing, and it won't scan. And so I stood up, and I said, "Sir, do you need some help?" And he turns around, and he goes, "Is there anybody working here?" "I am, sir. Do you need some help?" Oh, this story gets better.
No, I'm just a civilian asking if you need help. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, "Do you need some help?" He goes, "This card won't work." So, okay. So I go walking over and I say, "Well, let me see the card." And he hands it to me, and it is a gift card that's got like four restaurants on it: Cracker Barrel, Red Lobster, and a couple other restaurants. And I said, "This is the card you're trying to use to pay here at Target." And he's like, "Yeah, I don't understand why it won't work." And I said, "Because we are not Cracker Barrel or Red Lobster or whatever." And he goes, "Well, it says my choice on here." I said, "Yeah, I get that. But this is not one of the choices. This isn't a choice." Now, what am I supposed to do with that? What? I don't even. And he was furious.
Well, and he's on the choice. Phone. It's the choice, Brandy.
That's what I'm saying. So I can buy a Target gift card and go to Walt Disney World and be like, "Hey, my choice. My choice is I want to be here. So what the fuck?" So, I mean, you know, and I told somebody who was, when I was on break, I'm like, "I hope he tells this story to his children. I hope this motherfucker tells that story to his children." And they just look at him and go, "Hey, dick nose. We got this. So you could go get some fucking, you know, sweet potato casserole at goddamn Cracker Barrel. Not try and buy fucking Post-Its at Target." That would be a Target gift card. So this is, I mean, this is my whole fucking...
I mean, if you were a truly dedicated employee, you
was going to say your compassion is
Cracker Barrel and have them work out an exchange with you.
Oh, yeah, but I'm not, though.
That would be going above and beyond.
I don't give a fuck about that guy. I don't give a fuck about Target. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. I'm getting paid, and you're just fucking in my way right now with your bullshit. So fuck all the way off with it.
Hold on. I think we hit on an important part here, your philosophy regarding customer service. I don't give a fuck about you. I don't give a fuck about anything. I'm getting paid.
Is that what you highlighted on your resume?
I don't give a fuck about you. I don't. Merry motherfucking Christmas.
Exactly.
Well, I will say, as someone who's worked retail,
my husband has a retirement plan.
It is a bitch at Christmas time. You want to murder every motherfucker that walks through that door.
Every motherfucker. Everyone. Let me tell you, I had another girl that came in. She was probably, I don't know, 17, 18 years old. And she had a gift card. And I don't know why nobody knows how to use a gift card. Like, they're looking at me like, "I don't know what to do." Dude, scratch off the part that says scratch off. And then it will work. I'm just the basic instruction, whatever. So this little girl hands me her gift card. "I don't know how to do this." "Okay, I'm going to teach you. Do you have a coin?" "What? A coin? I don't know what you're talking about." Nickel, dime, quarter, coin, a coin. Oh, no. This, I mean, I don't have it in me.
Well,
it's amazing. It's amazing. And you know what? Every person that works customer service is going to tell you, I don't give a shit about you. I don't give a shit about your stuff. I barely give a shit about the place I work.
They say that out loud.
Yes, they do. You just don't hear them. I've heard you say it.
Keep to themselves.
I've heard you say it.
I've said it plenty of times, but I don't think anybody expects customer service from me.
They don't expect anything from you. That's the problem.
That, you know what? I have lived a long time to craft my life to be that way. Don't expect a goddamn thing.
You know what I find it works, Chuck, is tucking your pant leg into your sock.
Yeah.
People have lower expectations of you walk around like that.
Well, you know, here's what I found.
Or wet yourself or something. I mean, it just automatically.
Yeah. Chuck, you should definitely wet yourself.
Chuck is the embodiment of the Gin Blossoms lyric. If you don't expect too much from me, you might not be let down. That's right, Chuck right there. True.
The
Gin Blossoms.
My daughter
posted this
on Facebook the other day about wisdom she's gained from me over the years.
What?
And I told her at 12 years old, I cannot believe she remembered it, that there are two types of people in this world. People who will have disappointed you. And people who have not disappointed you yet. You're basically like the great white shark they put in the swimming pool at the hotel. You know, you don't have a choice, but it's the people, the innocent victims jumping in the swimming pool that don't really have the choice. I was just walking into Target hoping to get a scarf from my grandma Nellie.
Listen. If you're up there and I got 20 people in line, and all of a sudden I look at you and you're letting your 3-year-old kumquat and her brother, you know, whatever the fuck, Samsung over there, scan all your little shit, get the fuck out of my line. You're taking not the time for that. It's not the time. If I put a big sign on a machine that says card only, don't look at me and go, why isn't it taking cash? Because it says card only right fucking there. Right there. What the fuck? Oh, I didn't even see that. What the fuck is happening?
So
what the fuck is happening? Basically, it's lit up with neon and these fucking people can't tell. And then why isn't it taking it? What's going on, motherfucker? Right there. People are rude. People are nasty. They cut in front of each other in line. Then they almost get in a fight. That was fun. I was encouraging that a little bit.
So what you're saying in a nutshell, this has not been the most festive of seasons for you.
Fucking hell. I just don't understand. It's like people lose all good sense.
I would think working the self-checkout area would be harder too, because people like me, I go through self-checkout so I can avoid talking to someone. You've already got people in the self-checkout that you know probably don't want to interact with anyone. So they're going to be sour motherfuckers anyway, right? Yeah. I mean, you know that off the rip.
Well, but you don't have to be sour.
I'm saying,
talk to anybody, and I respect that.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why I go through it. I don't want to interact with anyone. You know, I want to
check out and leave. But when you're coming through my line and your cart overfloweth
with shit,
and now I've got 30 people in line waiting to use it, and you're over there checking all the prices. And then when you get done, you stand in front of my fucking machine and want to read your receipt. Get the fuck to the holding area over there. Get the fuck over there by carts. I'm done. I hadn't worked retail during the holidays in a long time. And boy, now I know why.
The experience.
So do they.
That's fine. First of all, fuck you. I ran all four of them little self-checkout registers and a regular register on Christmas Eve. So piss off, wanker.
I feel like you should be paying us $75 an hour, devil.
I feel like I should be too. You know what? Because of my knee, I do have a little bar stool that I get to sit on.
Oh, do you?
I do.
That's a reasonable explanation.
So basically, what you're telling me is they have hired bouncers at Target.
Basically, you have to.
The day before Christmas Eve, Melissa sends me to Jungle Gyms to get salami and a couple of things. So I walk up to the meat counter and the guy, hey, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I need 2 pounds of salami because we were making salami roll-ups. And he says, well, what kind of salami? I was not prepared for such an inquisition. And I said,
yeah, there's all kinds.
Regular salami? And he said, well, what are you using it for? And I said, we're going to make salami roll-ups. And he said, so you want hard salami? I'm like, well, yeah, what else is there? So he starts to rattle off. Yeah, all these Genoa. And I'm just like, oh, okay, I don't know. And the woman next to me is giggling. And she's like, yeah, you were sent on a chore and weren't given all the information, obviously, or don't have all the information. I'm like, I felt so dumb. Like, I don't know what the fuck, you know?
Here's the thing. Had you gone to Kroger, they'd have got that for you. But since you went all she to Jungle Gyms, they got 85 things of salami. Some's made with, you know, ostrich meat. Some's made with bison, whatever. They have all that shit. So that's what you get for being a little she salami shopper.
A little hoity-toity.
That's what you fucking get. Hoity-toity Jungle Gym salami. Fuck you. Go to Kroger. They already have pre-cut hard salami. And they will slap it on a thing just for you.
Maybe I've learned my lesson. Just go there instead. Clearly. Yes, because actually, what we got from there was really thick cut, too. And I'm not used to that. Like, I wanted thin.
Yeah, gross. Nope, but, gross.
I think, and I'm using maybe street lingo here, but I think what most people, when they're wanting salami, they want the thick, hard salami.
Okay. Tim, just let's move
this
forward.
This has been a lot of brandy time. But I just had to think.
Too much brandy
Tim
time.
Tim, stuff up damn. With your fucking mouth.
Save all the brandy time for the end of the year.
I hear every major malfunction today.
Let me introduce the man, Brandy, who is, as we live in these very troubled times, as we're going into an election year where, you know, democracy, Colonel, may be on the ballot.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
A man who is known as an oasis. In the desert of despair.
Nope.
A best-selling author.
Nope.
Is now famous book. It's a recently passed Great Expectations, Colonel.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Number 10 best-selling book of all time.
Great Expectations. We have no expectations.
Well, he is, Brandy, only the Bible really is with beyond his reach.
Jesus God. Oh my God. Christ in a fucking sidecar. Will you stop? We're going to get so many fucking letters and shit. Strongly worded emails.
The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard, Hawk Waters III. Affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Timmy, I'm fine. I'm wonderful today, Timmy. I had the boys home, and I have to tell you, Taylor gave us the gift of Christmas, gave me the gift of Christmas, Timmy, that was probably the best gift I've gotten from any of my children. I didn't particularly get it, but 2 days into his stay here, Taylor tested positive for COVID.
Oh, man.
Which meant all the little family gatherings and everything else, Taylor could not attend, and I am not one to leave my child home by himself. In the holiday season.
That's often
look at you.
You're not one to do that.
No. So, Taylor and I, on New Year's Eve, we ate cheese conies and we watched football.
Tonight's New Year's Eve. I know as you get older that the days run together. There you go. Okay.
But all right, Dad. I do have to tell you this. At my advanced age, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have a wisdom tooth removed.
Ew.
Yes, I did. And they told me that, you know.
Man, you're just falling apart.
They told me, don't vape. You're going to get a dry socket.
Dry socket.
Okay. what do I do when I get a dry socket? Because I'm not going to stop vaping. And she, it was
a very
nice surgeon. And she said, well, when it starts to hurt, she said, our problem is we're going to do this on a Thursday. It's probably going to start to hurt you on Sunday. So she gave me instructions, but I got the dry socket and I went back and got it fixed and all is right with the world, but it's.
Well, you got to be careful of those dry sockets, Colonel.
Are you wearing a cardigan?
Yes. Huh?
Are you wearing a cardigan?
I'm wearing a hoodie.
I was thinking it was a members only jacket.
No, I'm wearing a hoodie.
He's the last member.
Look, he's the last member. I am your fuck. I'm fucking Obi-Wan.
Colonel, no, you're not.
Colonel
no,
Obi.
You're not. Shut your whore mouth. Shut your whore mouth.
So that was how my my year ended.
Now, Colonel, have you ever ran into a dry socket before?
Only if they're over 30, Timmy. Because that's really when the vagina breaks down and stops working properly.
Moving on.
I got
on.
A chapter in the book for that. I get a
moving
every couple
on.
Of months. I get a 55-gallon drum of aircraft oil delivered to my house.
Oh,
so that usually takes care of it. Yeah.
Nice. What the?
You I'll tell you use... what. That good old Kentucky jelly works pretty well too.
You burn through that. It depends on the speed. You know what kind of speed you're going at. You get. The
okay, wait a minute.
EPM
I just want to note it. 25 minutes in. 25 minutes in. Can we talk about Bonnie?
Well, I just like,
think Chuck's just had enough time.
Is pretty good product to use.
What is?
Oh my God.
Petroleum jelly.
Nope.
What's no, wrong with you? No. That could lead to infection.
He knows better. He knows
bacteria?
Better. Just stop. Yeah. He's just riling you up and you just get right into it.
I will tell you. Crisco, the hard Crisco, that works fine, Timmy. Crisco, you just keep a tub there, get yourself a good
and
bone of that.
Apply it. Apply it.
Get control of that shit.
Yeah.
You know, the great thing with this software, I can actually mute everyone's mic. So,
thank you, baby Jesus.
We are also joined, as always, by our producer, Matt. Thad, how are you today, Thad?
I am doing great. I want to show off one of the best gifts I got for Christmas. So I collect Funkos, so like Star Wars Funkos and Doctor Who and stuff like that. So my wife bought me. She had this made. It is a personalized Thad Funko. So he's got his blue jeans, his black T-shirt, which is what I always wear. He's got a lightsaber, and then even his hair is a little darker on the top. Like mine is, and then it gets gray around the back and in the beard, but looks just like me. I mean, we're practically twins.
A picture of that.
I mean, we're practically twins. She always finds really great gifts. So that was cool.
Yes,
so
I see your little stupid Funko that's not you. So I don't know what your point is. Everybody's got a fucking Funko.
It's not anything like you.
You
put a helmet on. It could be Chuck.
No,
Chuck's
trying to be third asshole guy. That's all he's trying to do. So he can take his Funko and shove it up his ass because it means nothing. Oh, good, we got another one.
What is that, Colonel?
That is Thomas Paine, the father of the Revolution.
Oh, okay, all right. That looks like that. That's an original Funko.
He's just trying to be third asshole guy. Just move on. I cannot.
But
so many.
I think, you know, I've seen Chuck reading Common Sense all the time.
No, I don't know.
Oh, who we got there?
Nice.
Noam Chomsky.
Okay.
I don't need to even be here for this. Can I run errands and be back before we start? Can I do that? Because I don't need to be here for Chuck showing us all his stupid ass display.
I mean,
He's trying to do it to show you up. He's trying to do it to show you up. Look,
Aristotle?
I got one that looks like me. Well, look,
who is
I got this one and this one and this one.
That was Aristotle there, Timmy.
Okay.
All right. It's turned into show and tell. Brandy, do you have anything you want to show off? Okay.
Show him, devil. Show him.
All right. Let's
I want to read the goddamn story about this.
By the way, Happy New Year to our listeners. Welcome Happy to 2024. We're going to kick it off. Let's do it.
2024. All right, let's talk a little bit about Bonnie Lee Bakley. If you're not familiar with the name, you probably are, and you probably forgot about her. But Bonnie Lee Bakley was the wife of Robert Blake, actor. And Robert Blake, of course, had his own TV series back in the 1970s called Beretta, where, what was the catchphrase, Colonel?
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Oh, no, don't do it.
Very good, girl. Yes, he was a TV star in the 1970s. He actually started his career as a child actor with the Little Rascals, Colonel.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, there was a lot of horny little bastards trying to sleep.
Yeah, there were.
What was her name?
Darla,
yeah. Even Chubby was trying to get in on that, Colonel.
Spanky?
No, Spanky definitely was in on that.
But, yeah, Spanky did Chubby. A lot of taking. Spanky
Chubby?
Was,
there was a
kind
Chubby.
Of self-sufficient. That's hence the name Spanky. His real name was Bobby. But,
who cares? Who cares? Nobody thinks Spanky is his Christian name, Chuck. Nobody thinks Spanky is his Christian name.
How do you think he got the name Spanky?
Because he's no, or he got his ass whooped all the time. I don't know, but I don't remember there being a little rascal named Chubby.
Yeah, he was. He might have been in the R Gang series, but
yeah,
you can look. There's a Chubby there. He was like, I don't know. He was, you know, he was like, he wasn't a main character, but there was also, let's see.
Nope. Let's not go down this path. Let's just go right back to the path we were on. Let's not diverge from where we are.
Who's some other ones, Colonel?
Norman Myers. Timmy Norman Myers, who died very young in 1936. He was only 21 years old, was Chubby.
We can do an entire series.
So
we did one on Alfalfa.
Yeah.
So according to IMDb, Robert Blake, in 1939, on Captain Spanky's Showboat, played the character Mickey, but was uncredited.
Yeah. So Hal Roach produced those. And
1930. This guy had a crazy career. I mean, he is so much on IMDb. Yeah, 1939 all the way up to 97, this guy was working.
Yeah. He was a big star back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Hey, Noah, how you doing?
Hey, Noah.
Hey.
Nope, he's gone.
You know, now, I just want this to be a cautionary tale about Chubby. Chubby got himself up over 300 pounds. Okay.
Yeah, he was.
And then he went to Johns Hopkins. They found out he had a glandular disorder. They fixed it. He dropped down to 140 pounds, his ideal weight, but the rapid weight loss caused myocarditis, and he dropped over dead at 21 years old.
That's why I don't lose weight.
Yeah. There was also Stymie.
Yeah, we all know.
Waldo was
the okay. Again, was Bonnie Lee Bakley in The Little Rascals?
Bakley,
no, but she married.
Whatever I said, Bakley.
Robert Blake, who was in?
She did
The Little Rascals.
But
okay,
nobody so gives a fuck.
Let's talk about Bonnie Blake Bakley because, as I said, starting this, she was a piece of work. I mean, we don't like to, you know. Bad about the victims, but man, she was a piece of work. But anyway, let's go on. On May 4th, 2001, Bonnie Lee Bakley was shot to death, and her husband's, who was actor Robert Blake, parked car in Los Angeles. But the question is, and remains, who actually pulled the trigger? At first glance, the murder of Bonnie Lee Blakely seemed like a simple criminal case. Blakely had been fatally shot two times while sitting in her parked car on May 4th, 2001. She was like the wife of Archduke Ferdinand, Colonel. She was just sitting in her car. Mind her own business. Someone comes up and blows her away. Her husband, the actor Robert Blake, admitted that he had left her briefly to retrieve a gun from a nearby Los Angeles restaurant called Vitalo's. I don't know if that, I'm spelling it right, pronouncing it right. Probably not. Vitalo's. I don't know. But where the couple had just had dinner. So they went out to dinner. They have this nice restaurant. They leave the restaurant. Robert Blake says, "Oh, I forgot my gun in the restaurant." I'm not sure how you forget your gun in the restaurant, but he said, "Oh, I forgot my gun." So he parks. He goes back to the restaurant to pick up the gun. And while he's away, someone comes up to the car and murders Bonnie Lee Blakely. So that's what happened. Now, there was nothing simple about Bonnie Lee Blakely. She was, you know, as I said, we don't like to blame the victim, but she was a well-known con artist with an obsession with various celebrities. She was into celebrities, Brandy's. What's your thought on that?
Well, I mean, she certainly got herself some kind of celebrity.
But there was nothing simple about her, as I said. A lost soul. She's been described as a lost soul who'd been married 10 times, Brandy. What do you think about that?
That's stupid. Stupid. She's stupid.
She had chased Dean Martin. Dino, as those of us in the Rat Pack would call him.
Yeah.
Dino. No good. And the killer, Jerry Lee Lewis. But you really don't want to date Jerry. You don't want to marry Jerry Lee Lewis because I think he had like four wives die.
Yeah.
Check that out, Thad. Do some research on that. Jerry Lee Lewis. I think that's why they called him the killer. His wives always would die.
Well, he liked to fuck 13-year-old girls too.
He didn't like
that. Exactly. That was my thought.
He was actually prosecuted in England for bringing his 13-year-old wife there.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he had seven spouses.
Seven.
Yeah. He was.
I think some of them died.
Described as rock and roll's first great wild man.
The killer. They called him the killer.
The killer. That's right. That's what they called him.
He, of course, his famous, most famous song was Girdle. You know it?
Goodness gracious. Great balls of fire.
Thank you, Colonel. Thank you, Colonel. Great balls of fire. Yes.
Chuck's recording today in a hookah lounge, evidently.
You can't even see him. It's like his office, and then someone comes in and says, "Are you vaping in here?" No.
No. I mean, no.
Why would you think that?
No.
Now, it's my diffuser. It's my diffuser for my seasonal disorder.
You know, Jerry Lee Lewis, he was the original sex, drugs, and rock and roll, Timmy.
Yeah, he was. He was.
He really was.
His family reunions must have been fucked up.
Anyway, she also had a relationship.
Well, hold on, let me throw this out because this is a funny anecdote. Right. So when he and his third wife, yeah, Myra Gail Brown, the 13-year-old first cousin once removed, when they went to Heathrow Airport in London, she exclaimed, or he told them that she was not 13, she was actually 15.
Oh,
I still don't think that makes it okay.
Oh, okay.
But in his mind.
Timmy, do you know why they called him the killer, Timmy? And that says a lot about it. He was 13 years old, got in a fight with a grown man, took the grown man's tie, tried to choke him to death with it, and people had to pull him off of him.
Yeah, he had a wild life.
Tried to strangle the man with his own tie.
We can get into that on his own fucking episode, but now let's talk about.
Well, she also struck up a relationship with Marlon Brando's son. Now, talk about dysfunctional. She
Well, right.
You know, as you know, he served time for manslaughter, Colonel. He killed his sister's boyfriend. But anyway, she eventually wed Robert Blake. So he was the winner. You know, she, Dean Martin, Jerry Lee,
she's an old digger.
Christian dodged a bullet. But unfortunately, she didn't dodge a bullet. That's the point of the story. But Robert Blake was.
You got to be quicker if you're going to date Beretta.
Robert Blake married her. And of course, he's best known for his role in the 1970s crime drama Beretta, where he was played a private detective. And he came out of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And he had a bird, didn't he, Colonel?
Yeah, he had a cockatiel, Timmy.
What was that? What was his name?
I forget.
Can you give that to Andy to see if she can look that up?
Danny, look up. Danny, give me Beretta's bird's name.
A known grifter.
So you don't even.
A known Jesus grifter. Bonnie Lee Blakely had plenty of enemies. And since Blake.
Layla.
What?
Layla, the cockatoo.
Okay, Layla.
Layla.
No.
Layla, she was a showgirl.
That was Layla.
Yeah. And eventually, so she had a lot of enemies. And since Robert
she
Blake.
She was a grifter, Timmy. She was a grifter.
She was a grifter.
Listen, I am not ringing in the new year with you motherfuckers today. It's 11:23 in the morning. Can we do this so I can get my shit done?
No, exactly what shit you need to get done, Jeff.
What's more important than our listeners, Brandy?
Because you don't seem like the most domesticated of women to me.
And she doesn't seem like she cares a lot about our listeners right now.
About anybody.
I want you to look. You see all that? See it? I got to go through all of that stuff.
I mean,
I feel
like I'm in her line at Target. That's how I feel like I'm being treated over here.
Yeah. And asking for change for a $5.
Right.
Can you give me $5?
Let's get back to the story.
Bonnie Lee Blakely. Walmart gift card here at Target. Can I do that? Is that okay?
I swear to God. Fine.
Who cares?
I don't care. It's not like I get a bonus.
Brandy, would you like me to come in to your self-checkout and help me?
I'd like for you to read the rest of this goddamn introduction. That's what I'd fucking like.
Bonnie Lee Blakely was born on June the 7th, 1956. She was born one day after D-Day, Colonel, but, you know, like 15 years later.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter at all.
Well, I'd like to point out, Brandy, her mother was pregnant during the holidays.
She was.
Now, she wasn't all big and, you know, all that. But, you know, she was, you know, 4 or 5 months pregnant by then. 3 months, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
She was born in Worson, New Jersey, which is quite a coincidence, Brandy, because Robert Blake was born in New Jersey.
I mean, so they were born in the same state. That's crazy.
Marjorie Smith, who was her sister, Bonnie Lee Blakely's sister, her sister said she was introduced to sexual concepts at a very young age. Her sister told ABC News that they grew up near a nudist colony. And that when Blakely was around 11 years old, they went to the colony for a clothes-on swim day. So basically, you know, they went there when they were wearing clothes and swam in the swimming pool. However, it was actually a clothes-off day. So her sister never went back after that, but Bonnie Lee returned frequently. Yes, she liked the nudist camp at a very early age and says that some adults at the colony soon started taking advantage of her. She started posing for sexual photos by the age of 14 and began selling them to older men. Bonnie, her mother was Mother of the Year. Yeah, I don't know what
entrepreneurial spirit.
There, she recognized a market that needed filled.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was the, you know, was the, whatever, the, what's the site where you pay for new photos?
OnlyFans?
Yeah, OnlyFans of its time, I guess.
I've heard, you know.
Well, the Colonel, you know, has an account there.
I do. And Rudy has one, too.
I'm sure you get a lot of traffic there.
It's, you know, it's hit or miss, Timmy. The holidays, you know, it slows
things
down.
Slow
a
down
bit.
During the holidays.
Yeah. Now, did Brandy just leave? Did she just walk out?
I'm here.
She's done with you.
Brandy, what do you think about being on OnlyFans?
I'm disgusted by the entire concept that Chuck would be on there.
So, if
you want to get there, I got. My latest picture is me in a Santa hat and Santa boots and nothing else, Timmy.
Now you got the. Are you doing the diaper thing for baby New Year?
Don't do that anymore, Timmy. Those people are weird, and they don't pay well.
And if you use code the Colonel, you'll pay 15% more for your membership. Yeah,
that's right.
So
that's right.
Make sure you plug that in.
Yes, check out OnlyFans and check out the Colonel's page there. He will be doing private shows for the new year, so check that out.
And the most busy time of year is going to be, of course, Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So
that's coming.
You might want to bring your significant other and have a joint session.
There you go. He will fulfill all requests for the appropriate tip.
Mm.
So, Bonnie Bakley eventually realized the value of new photos. As an adult, she placed ads in swinger magazines where she made up different stories about why she needed money. When men responded, Bakley would send them nudes. So it was like, you know, sending a pic, you know, a nude pic back in the day before it was nude pics. Her con slowly grew in scope, and she stole credit. She was stealing credit cards and forged driver's license to make her alias seem more legit. Bonnie Lee dropped out of high school at the age of 16 and decided to go to New York City.
New York City.
To pursue a career in modeling and acting at the Barbizon School of Modeling. I thought they were a school of
Barbizon
or something.
No, Barbizon. Do you want to be a model? And then they put up all pictures and you had to go see Barbizon. I remember that they used to advertise all over the place.
Those people that would like come into a mall near you and they would.
Oh, yeah. You have to buy headshots from them and stuff.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a scam and a half.
I sent my headshot into them and they threatened to call the police on me, Colonel.
Well, you sent the wrong head, so you gotta be careful about that.
Although I did get a couple offers. Anyway,
weird guys.
She then met an immigrant named Evangeline. How would you pronounce that, Brandy?
Well, hold on, and I gotta find out where you are. I'm pretty sure you're just everywhere.
Bukakis.
No, all right, hold on.
She meant Evangelo Bukakis.
Palakis.
I remember. You're an expert because you wrote the book, Colonel. Do you have a chapter on Bukakis?
I got a chapter on three caucus. But just the dual caucus, Timmy, that's become just the norm. You know, I touched on it briefly.
Who is really into that is Carrot Top.
Yeah.
Swear, look at his wiki page. He's into.
Okay.
Carrot.
Can I also say that I don't give a fuck about Carrot Top because we're talking about something else. We're not even talking about what you're talking about. The guy just has a weird name, like that you can't say.
So she married this guy.
Let's keep going.
He needed to get married in order to be able to stay in the United States. So she married this guy, agreed to marry him, but for a price, Brandy. But then almost immediately ended the marriage. He was deported. So he paid her. They got married. She ended the marriage and he got deported. So it doesn't sound like he got a pretty, you know, kind of sound like he got the short end of the stick, Brandy. At age 21, Bonnie Lee married her first cousin, Paul Charone. So we was just talking about the killer marrying his first cousin once removed. Well, Bonnie Lee married her first cousin, this Paul Garone guy, at roughly five, and they were married for roughly 5 years. This would prove to be the longest of her 10 marriages, Brandy. And they had two children together, Glenn and Holly.
It's like Charlie Brown and Lucy with the football. Every time you know this is the one.
Yeah.
This is the one that's going to work out.
Well, Bonnie Lee began a mail order business, sending nude pictures of women, including herself, to men. I don't know who the other women are. She also ran Lonely Heart Club scams and magazines, advertising for a male companion. After communicating with the men who answered her ad, she would ask for money for rent or travel expenses. Now, Bonnie Lee's business and scams eventually afforded her enough money to buy several houses in Memphis, Tennessee. You know who's in front of
Memphis?
Remember that wrestler who fought, who was always in a feud with, who was the guy? Andy Kaufman. Remember that, Colonel?
Yeah.
The King Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. Remember when he slapped him on David Letterman?
David Letterman, yep. Yeah. That was a big deal. A big deal, man.
I think didn't he knock him out?
When he knocked him over. I mean, the chair completely toppled over, and he knocked the shit out of him.
Who hasn't wanted to slap Andy Kaufman?
I don't know.
Everybody wants to slap.
Everybody wants to slap Andy Kaufman. Let me just tell you, I found on adultfyi.com the. Porn's number one news source. From an article in 2016, Carrot Top was on the Howard Stern show, and it was revealed that he was into bukkake, but also he was into something that's called the Roman shower, which is being vomited on.
Oh.
So this guy really has some dark taste.
Carrot Top's a freak.
He kind of is.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy? Roman shower.
Oh, my God.
I guess because Romans had the vomitoriums.
Right? A vomitorium. Mm-hmm. The Roman shower. What a great name.
Brandy was...
He's got that kinky head. It'd be hard to get out.
Given the opportunity. I mean, you know, for the right amount of money.
Yes, I would. But then I'm just walking away. I don't want to see what happens after that.
Okay.
How do you bring that up to your partner? Like, hi, would you puke on me? Like, how do you get to that point? What's the...
You have to be very comfortable in your...
Shit on my leg. Or shit on my leg.
Yeah.
Now, Colonel, do you cover the Roman shower in your book?
I cover it just in the chapter of Don't Do These Things.
I see.
That whilst the Colonel does not kink shame, I do not approve of these particular acts, and the Roman shower is under one of them.
So while he doesn't yuck your yum, he's just going to say, this is something you should probably stay away from. If you,
as you know, back in the day, Timmy, back before men knew better, oftentimes, you know, a couple would go out and they'd have way too much to drink, and they would start to, you know, get romantic. And nothing will break the mood like having a woman vomit in the middle of that. So sometimes you get an inadvertent...
Unless you're Carrot Top.
You get an inadvertent Roman shower. Usually it lands on your gym shoes. You're like, oh, wah, wah.
Nothing, that's an amazing story.
Well, that's back when Reeboks were coming out, and they were new, and they were expensive, and, you know, you were proud of them. Now you got Huey Delight vomit on your shoes.
So, Huey Delight.
Bonnie Lee had these houses in Memphis that she bought, and she also bought a house outside L.A. She pursued a Hollywood
career. So she's doing well.
Here's a shock, Randy. She wanted to pursue a Hollywood career as a singer and actor under the stage name Lee Bonnie. But
Lee Bonnery.
But she was unsuccessful, Randy.
Shock.
Despite her, due to the nature of her mail order business and other dealings, she was arrested several times. In 1981, she was arrested in Memphis for drug possession and was fined $300.
That was a lot of money back then. In 1995,
just years later, she was arrested for attempting to pass two bad checks from an account of a Memphis record company. She was fined $1,000 and sentenced to work on a penal farm, Colonel. Mm-hmm.
They're growing big down there, too.
Yeah, she was down in Little Rock. So she worked on a penal farm and on weekends, and she plead bargained down to lesser charges. In 1998, 3 years after that, she was arrested in Little Rock possessing 5 driver's licenses and 7 Social Security cards, all with different names. Bakley used the IDs to open various post office boxes in order to run her Lonely Heart Club scams. But I'm thinking, Colonel, if she was married 10 times, I mean, she might have, you know, those IDs may be legit.
They could be. They could be. You know what? She must have been miserable because there were 10 men who said, you know what? I just can't take her anymore. I just can't take her. Yeah. You know what I mean? You would think she would have the good sense, like the devil, find Delaney, find somebody and say, oh, this person can tolerate me. I'm staying.
Brandy, what's your thoughts?
I don't care.
Would you like to continue the script?
I would love to continue the script. Yeah. Is it my turn? Okay, good. Bonnie Lee Bakley had a history of pursuing celebrities, with her friends and relatives describing her as celebrity obsessed. Oh,
I hate those women. I hate them.
Yeah,
I was waiting
to
hop on me at my Honda CRV, you know.
They are always waiting for you by the Honda, aren't they?
The Honda CRV, a.k.a. outside of the work. Pussy Wagon. That's right.
The Chernobyl.
Sure, yeah. Tapes of Bakley's phone conversations reveal that she was starstruck and determined to marry someone famous. Being around celebrities, she once said, it makes you feel better than other people. She seemed nice. In California.
Here we go.
In California, Bakley pursued other celebrities, including Dean Martin, Frankie Valli. Bakley claimed that they had dated when she was a teenager. Valli, of course, denied the claim. And Gary fucking
Busey.
It seems like Gary Busey could end up peripherally in every one of our podcasts.
If there's
one person you ever want to just like spend a weekend with, it's Gary Busey.
Yeah, that's I saw an old movie like it was from like 1970s, and he was in it, and it was like this little cafe out in the middle of the desert, and they were stranded. People were stranded there for some reason. I don't know if it was a rock, you know, a rock fell or something in the road, but they were stuck in this. And Gary Busey was there. He was in the movie. And he played this really obnoxious guy that you just wanted to get away from. And I thought, that is Gary Busey.
Right? Well, and this was also, when did he get in his accident?
Oh, I don't know. What kind of accident was it?
Well, this was probably pre his accident. He had a motorcycle accident.
He's a psychopath. He's a psychopath. I think he's threatened to beat up.
Well, now he is. Now he is, for sure.
He was Buddy Holly.
But I don't know.
He was Buddy Holly. The Buddy Holly
story. Buddy Holly was his best, I think his best
yes,
movie.
Yes, he was.
Man.
So it looks like he was critically hurt in Culver City motorcycle crash in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I believe there was a traumatic brain injury there. How would you like to be hanging out with Gary Busey?
So he
had his phone ring.
Mm.
You're in a bar with Gary Busey. You know it's going to get crazy. And have his phone ring and say, yeah, we're hanging out and having some beers. Come on over. And it be Nick Nolte show up.
I don't care. I'm in. I'm down. I'm down with that.
Stories that those guys would tell. Yeah, in this article from the Los Angeles Times, it says Busey was thrown off his motorcycle. The back of his head struck the curb. He was not wearing a helmet. So that motherfucker's lucky to be alive and walking and not a vegetable. Yeah. Well, I mean,
he also had cancer. They removed a plum-sized tumor from a sinus cavity of his.
Oh, God.
He also had a cocaine overdose.
Hmm. I wonder if those could be related.
Yeah, they suspect his brain injury from it's caused him to be so weird. But, yeah, he... he endorsed Nick Gingrich for president, so...
Who?
Newt. Well, that's his bad. Newt Gingrich.
Good old Newt.
Newt. Fucking slimy bastard. Anyway, she moved on from Gary Busey, and in 1991, she became interested in Christian Brando, the eldest son of actor Marlon Brando.
You know, the greatest character in movies ever, I believe. It's kind of a toss-up between Marlon Brando as the Godfather or Marlon Brando as Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse Now. The two greatest characters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, spoiler alert, Rosebud was a sleigh. A sled.
No, that was...
Okay. I don't care. That was something completely different.
Citizen Kane.
It was a
sled. There you go. So, Rosebud. All right.
Citizen Kane was based on, Colonel?
The guy who owned all the newspapers.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
The guy from San Francisco.
Hearst.
He was a news guy. Hearst.
Hearst.
Yeah. Kane Randolph Hearst, yeah.
All right. So, no, this is really, she became interested in Christian really Brando. Oh, my God.
Being an educational podcast.
Oh.
Yes. Thad, please do. Put
hashtag
it under education.
Educational. Yeah.
Hashtag education molest. Anyway.
You really can learn a lot on this podcast if you just pay attention.
Look at Charles and his new slippers. Were those a Christmas gift there, Charles?
And his cardigan. And his cardigan.
He's a comfy man today.
I just starting a new year right.
I was out and I saw him and I bought him.
That's an amazing story. I'm glad that you told it. I feel
you
better.
Saw him and I bought
anyway,
him.
Anyway,
what's your New Year's resolution?
Yeah. Fucking hell. To do a podcast in under 2 hours. That's my New Year's resolution.
I don't think that's going to happen.
All right.
You might want to shoot for something else.
Not today.
Hey, the Bengals don't play till 4. We got all kinds of time.
We got time.
I got time and I got negative shit on my mind, devil.
And when's the last time the Bengals played at Sunday at 1 o'clock? Jesus Christ. It's been forever.
Yeah, since Saturday's last
Saturday games, Thursday games, 4 o'clock games.
That is that.
Can I go fix
lunch? Is that
the
pose you strike when people ask you for help?
Yes. Well, first of all, I sit by the door, so it's fucking freezing.
If my arms are folded, don't come up and bother me.
You need a good cardigan.
Exactly. Well, and I always have on my resting bitch face when I'm over there. when so I don't know why people insist on asking me for help.
Or so you remove it when you leave there is what you're saying, because you kind of got it going on right now.
I wonder why.
Colonel, let me ask you
why could that be? Seriously. Oh, good. Oh,
don't
good.
You think a man,
can I go fix
don't
lunch?
You think a man has the right to dictate what is put on his tombstone, Colonel?
You know what? I think tombstones are for the revenge of the living, Timmy.
Well, I told Leanne what I wanted to have on my tombstone, and she refuses to...
Pepperoni and sausage?
I want on my tombstone, Colonel. You'll appreciate this, Colonel. I yep. want... In quotation
now, that's
marks,
too much for Tim. You know he's not eating sausage. Stop it.
What I want, Colonel, is on my tombstone, I want the words, "Never invade Russia in the winter."
Exactly. Exactly. Nobody have... You know what? Because there's still, or, you know, the Russians are kind of learning the Ukraine. Now they got planes, it's a little, but Ukraine's no picnic in the winter either, Timmy.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's not as big as Russia.
I mean, you know, how big is your tombstone, right? You know, and
right. Well, that's true.
Okay.
But, Brandy, what,
anyway,
let me ask you something. We should do a death pool here for 2024.
Okay, but we're not going to do it
right now.
We're not. That's not a choice that we're having right now.
Just quickly.
We're going
to
go with
they have
my
to be
choice.
Under 80 years old.
No.
They have to be under 80 years old. Thad, what's your choice?
Under 80?
I feel like it's going to be Phil Collins, and that hurts my heart. But I think he's very close.
Why do you feel
he's
that?
He's sick as shit, and he can't move. He can't stand. Aww. I mean, he is, he's a sickly man, and it will hurt my heart. But my wife just texted me.
Andre
my
Brower.
Wife just texted me that she's going to run errands and be back in a bit. So, breaking news.
But you got plenty.
Yeah, well, she gets to run errands, but I got to sit here with you fuckers,
Brandy,
and get this done before I run mine.
What's your pick, Brandy?
I don't know who my pick is. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Because I didn't know about Phil Collins, so I don't give a fuck.
Madonna. Chuck, you got a pick?
Oh, you're going with
Madonna.
I'm picking,
I'm going to go on a couple long shots. One is Johnny Depp.
Okay, he's young.
Johnny Depp.
I can see that.
Possibly, and you know, this will depend on a lot of political things. Putin.
Okay.
You never know.
You never know.
Giuliani's under 78, Timmy. He's only 78.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with an outlier, Timmy.
Okay.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson? Mm. I also think...
Wow,
I also
that's an amazing
think,
pick.
You know, Trump shits himself. Have you seen that recently?
Yes.
Does he? What? He wears a diaper and shits himself all the time.
He wears a diaper. Because Adderall fucking... blew my anyway.
I'm also
he starts dating. God damn it,
Pete Rose.
That could be.
Pete
imagine
Rose.
What the city would do when he dies.
You know
nothing.
What? Maybe
nothing.
He doesn't.
He's not a nice
no,
man.
Was,
you know what? I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay.
Because I was.
I don't care. I just want to read the script. You can disagree with me.
And I had. It was when the Reds. Had the old-timer softball game when they were closing Riverfront Stadium.
Yeah, I remember that game.
And
I went to that game, but I remember it. It was right but after the Reds were done with the season, but before they tore it down.
They told Pete he couldn't be in it. And Todd Portune, a great politician here and a friend of mine, told Major League Baseball, we have paid for this stadium. We will do what we goddamn well please. But if you don't like it, I will sue you just like I sued the NFL. And he did. And the NFL did not want to open up their books. Yeah, the NFL didn't want to open their books. Fortune knew this. He also knew Major League Baseball didn't want to open their books in a lawsuit.
Yep.
So Major League Baseball said, okay, we will let Pete play.
Because through discovery, you can find out a lot of shit.
So anyway, that... Todd was in charge of keeping Pete on the rails between the lines for that weekend.
Before it came out that Pete had a tardy relationship with a 14-year-old who he claims he thought was 15. Right. That's your defense. He didn't deny it. That was his defense. I thought.
Okay, and this is definitely not to defend that kind of behavior, but it was the 70s. That shit happened all the fucking time in the 70s.
Yeah, well, that was a 35-year-old man married, and he's banging a kid. You know.
I get it. I'm not saying he's not a piece of shit for that, but I'm just saying it's the 70s, and that it's not like today that happening. That would be a huge scandal. It's a 70. I mean, there's an interview that I heard Chris Collinsworth talking about when it was like his second year playing with the Bengals. Is that he likes high school girls because they're dumb and will do whatever he says. Like, wow, man.
Yeah.
That's you said that in an interview. Yeah, you can't say that shit today. You'll be canceled in a second.
Yeah. But anyway, I like
We would continue with the podcast, but Brandy has left and she's muted herself. So
well, okay. Well, let's continue without her. Where are we at?
Oh, here she is. Oh. Thank you for coming back, Devil.
Yeah.
In the middle of the strip.
Podcast over with.
Well, I was going to start a roast.
Yeah, if you started that at the beginning of the podcast, it'd be half done by now.
Anyway. Oh my God. I know. So anyway, she was interested in Christian Brando, who had become a media fixture when he was tried for the murder of his half-sister's boyfriend, Dag Drollet. Brando pled guilty to the lesser charge of voluntary manslaughter and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. While he was in prison, Bakley began writing him and sending photos. After his release in 1996, Brando and Bakley began a romantic relationship.
He's sitting in a cell.
In 1999,
that's how that works.
That's a captive audience to me.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Yes, it is. In 1999, Bakley discovered she was pregnant and initially thought that Brando was the child's father. In June 2000, she gave birth to her fourth child, a daughter. She named Shannon Brando.
You know how you could tell if it was a Brando's daughter or child? If they come out talking like the Godfather, Colonel.
You know.
Yeah.
Come out with a big thing in his mouth. Yep.
Yeah.
Christian was a handsome guy, though. Christian was, he was a little crazy.
You know, his wife, his mother, or mother, or stepmother, or something. She was from Tahiti.
Mm-hmm.
Tahitian women are not.
Well, while Bakley was involved with Christian Brando, she dated actor Robert Blake, whom she'd met at a jazz club in 1999.
Ooh, you know he was at a jazz club. He probably came over to her, Colonel. He's probably real smooth.
How you doing, baby? How you doing? Bring us another.
After the birth of daughter Christian Shannon Brando, Bakley told Blake that she was unaware of the child's paternity and that he might be the father of the child.
I've been in rascals.
Blake.
I was Beretta back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And you know he was.
That's how you got Leanne? Is that how you got Leanne? You lied to her and told her you were Beretta?
You may know me. I had a little TV series in the 1970s called Beretta.
Right. Blake insisted on a paternity test, which later determined that he, not Brando, was the father of Bakley's youngest child. After paternity was established, the child's name was legally changed to Rose Lenore Sophia Blake.
There's a chapter in my book, Devil, about healthy relationships. And one thing that I say is that if there's ever a paternity test involved in your relationship, you probably got some problems.
Blake agreed to marry Bakley under the condition that she sign a temporary custody agreement. Under the agreement, Bakley agreed to monitored visits with Rose and to get written permission for her friends and family to visit Blake's property. What? Under the agreement, Bakley agreed to monitored visits. What the fuck? Okay. I don't even understand. The agreement was stipulated that if either spouse decided to end the marriage, the other spouse would retain custody of Rose.
Did you know Adam Rich died?
Huh?
The little boy on Eight is Enough. The one with the bangs.
No.
He died.
Yeah, he was not on in my death pool.
You haven't given us that. You haven't given us your person yet.
Well, I don't need to now. He's dead. Let's see. The spouse would remain custody of record. Bakley's attorney advised her not to sign the document because he thought it was lopsided. Eager to marry Blake, she ignored her attorney's advice. There you go. And signed the agreement on October 4th, 2000. Bakley and Blake were married in November of 2000. First of all. So she ignores her attorney because she is such a celebrity whore that she's willing to sign over her daughter in order to marry this guy. Okay, just so we're all clear here what's happening. So they're married. And although they're married, the couple never lived together. Bakley and Rose lived in a small guest house beside the Blake residence.
Wait, Colonel, what do you think about two different bedrooms for couples?
You know, Timmy, as I have found out, and speaking to many couples, have separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
Many, many of them do. I believe snoring is the main culprit. Well, blanket stealing, which is, you know.
Right. So, surprise, surprise, this relationship was rocky. Mm. Blake was distrustful of Bakley and hired a private investigator to find more information about her. Seems like closing the barn door after the horse is out, but whatever.
The vagina is like Grand Central Station. People just come in and go on every day.
Blake later found out that Bakley had continued to operate her Lonely Heart scam during the marriage.
I mean, needs a hobby.
So she continued to operate this Lonely Hearts Club scam. Before her marriage to Blake, Bakley was married 9 times. Many of the marriages were short-lived, with one lasting a single day. Her 8th husband. Yes. Her 8th husband was Glenn Wolfe, famous for holding the record for the largest number of monogamous marriages.
There was one Center Square in Hollywood Squares.
Look, I was on
there. You are.
Timmy, I was on the Soul Train.
Really?
I can say
I didn't know that.
And I did one episode on Don Kirshner's rock concert, Timmy.
Oh, nice. Nice, girl.
Mm-hmm. Bakley's marriage to Robert Blake wouldn't last long. Just months later, Bonnie Lee Bakley was murdered in Los Angeles after dining with her new husband. On May 4th, 2000, 44-year-old Bonnie Lee Bakley and 67-year-old Robert Blake had dinner at Vitello's, a favorite restaurant of Blake's. After they'd finished their meal, the couple walked back to their car. But on the way there, Blake realized he'd left his gun behind. Oops, silly me. And he left Bakley to retrieve it at their table. Blake, a former child star who made a name for himself in the Oscar-nominated film In Cold Blood in 1967. Oh, yeah, why are we going through all this now?
The Starkweathers. Right. Remember we did an episode on them?
Yeah. He did a bunch of Tonight Show appearances, and he went in and recovered the gun from the restaurant, and then went outside to rejoin
this
his wife.
This is back before people had cell phones, Devil. So. Yeah. You know how people are always leaving their phones in the restaurant?
Yeah, I don't think a gun is the same.
Kind of.
But let me tell you something. Fucking Thad just went and made an entire fucking New Year's meal because you fuckers won't quit goddamn talking.
Who let the dog out, Kirk?
Anyway, as Blake tells it, he then found Bakley in their car with 2 gunshot wounds. Blake banged on the door of nearby resident, John Stanek, who told ABC News that he was stunned to find the actor on his doorstep. Stanek quickly called 911 and went to the car, horrified by what he saw. What did he see?
What a messy.
I opened the car door. I sit next to her, Bakley, and I pull her up, Stanek recalled. I tell her to squeeze my hand, but all she's doing is gurgling. And there's just a massive amount of blood everywhere. probably about a minute or two before he came back. When I saw Robert Blake had a gun, I thought to myself, we're in deep shit. This was a murder. This is your quintessential Hollywood murder story. This is it. Murder noir story, sorry. Witnesses later claimed that Blake's behavior seemed unusual, even phony, and one alleged that the police seemed to handle the actor with kid gloves. For most of the time, paramedics were working on Blakely. He was just sitting on the curb, witnesses claimed, according to people. An officer had his arm around him, just consoling him. Blakely, who'd been shot in the right cheek and the shoulder, died soon afterwards at a nearby hospital. The next morning, police recovered an unregistered 9mm Walther P-38 in a dumpster about 10 feet away from the crime scene. The vintage gun, once favored by Nazis, contained a bullet that matched the two that had been used to kill Blakely. It was not the same gun that Blake had retrieved from the restaurant, and the serial number had been scratched off, making the murder weapon's owner hard to identify. But almost a year later, in April 2002, the Los Angeles Police Department arrested Robert Blake for Bonnie Lee Bakley's murder. The LAPD investigation has developed compelling and conclusive evidence that Robert Blake killed Bonnie Lee Bakley, they said in a statement. The subsequent murder trial would become a media sensation. In a trial that began at the end of 2004, prosecutors alleged that Robert Blake had tried to hire hitmen to kill Bonnie Lee Bakley, then just decided to do it his fucking self. His motive, they claimed, was that he felt Bakley had tricked him into getting married after she got pregnant. He hated her for it, prosecutors Shelley Samuels claimed. He talked tough and acted street, then he got taken by a small-time grifter. The prosecution even played a recorded phone call, which, per A&E, captured Blake berating Blakely for lying about promising to get an abortion. Though the defense agreed that Robert did not like his wife, they worked to poke holes in the prosecution's case. They claimed that the alleged hitmen, stuntmen who had testified that Blake had asked them to kill his wife, were not credible or reliable witnesses because of their heavy drug use. And even though the police had found gunshot residue on Blake's hands, a defense expert insisted that it was a small amount. The expert said that Blake had only 4 or 5 particles on his hands.
Let me help you out here, devil, and all of our listeners. If you come across, and this is how Blake got kind of off of this. If you come across a gunshot victim and you go to help them and they've been shot in the chest and you are holding the chest and holding the wound and they've been shot at close range, there is a good chance that you will have gunshot residue on your hands because it's on your shirt. It transfers over to your skin.
All right.
Not a big amount, but a small amount.
Well, he would have had nearly 100 particles if he'd fired the gun himself.
If you wear rubber gloves.
In the end, Robert Blake was acquitted of murder on March 16, 2005, although he was found liable for Bakley's death in a civil case later that year and had to pay the family $30 million, leaving many questions about Bakley's murder. Indeed, some have claimed that Blake was innocent and that Bakley's former lover, Christian Brando, arranged her death. In another taped phone conversation, Brando was heard berating Bakley about her controversial lifestyle. You're lucky somebody ain't out there. Wait a minute. You're lucky somebody ain't out there to put a bullet in your head. Christian Brando died in 2008, and the mystery of Bonnie Lee Bakley's death has endured ever since. Robert Blake died on March 9th, 2023. What really happened that night in 2001? It seems that we will never know.
You're right, Brandy. Bonnie Lee Bakley's daughter sued Robert Blake for because of her, of their mother's death, and they won a $30 million lawsuit. Robert Blake appealed that, and the at appeal it was upheld, but they reduced the amount from $30 million to just $15 million. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
You could have included that in the script. I don't know why you didn't. I know you like to do that. No, you should have had to pay the whole $30 million. He's got Beretta money.
No, but
he's got our gang money.
So, Brandy, who do you believe killed Bonnie Lee Bakley? Well, you know,
Robert Blake.
Well, I don't think he killed her himself, but there were two stuntmen, Hollywood stuntmen, came forward and said that he tried to arrange a hit for hire. But one of them had a long history of illness.
That's what he said.
And the other had a long criminal history, and I guess they were not seen by the jury as reliable.
But who are you going to – you don't get the PTA president to go kill your wife. You find a fucking criminal. So sitting there going, well, we couldn't prosecute because those guys are criminals. No shit. No fucking shit.
You got to find yourself an upstanding citizen to kill your wife.
Exactly.
Well, anyway,
the only restaurant I'm ever carrying a gun to is Chuck E. Cheese.
They didn't find him guilty. Found him not guilty. And the prosecutor of the case said that basically Robert Blake did it and the jury were idiots. That's a prosecutor. They're sore losers, maybe, Carl.
Yeah. Well, clearly.
I believe he had something to do. I believe he had a hand. Maybe. Timmy.
Mm-hmm. I see.
But I don't believe he pulled the trigger himself.
It was a hit for hire.
It was. I believe it was.
Thad, what's your final thoughts on Bonnie Lee Bakley?
Well, I agree with Brandy and Chuck. I think he was involved because I think it would be way too big of a coincidence for him to say, oh, I left something behind. And in those 5 minutes or whatever, someone happens to just be lurking in the shadows and shoots and kills your wife. So, I mean, he did that because he wanted an alibi, right? He's like, oh, I wasn't there, so it couldn't have been me. And all these people in the restaurant saw me. But I think that motherfucker was definitely behind it. He was the one pulling the strings.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. Good day.
She's like a Karen in reverse.
I don't give a fuck about you. I don't give a fuck about anything. I'm getting paid.
Chuck is the embodiment of the Gin Blossoms lyric. If you don't expect too much from me, you might not be let down.
People are nasty. They cut in front of each other in line. Then they almost get in a fight. That was fun. I was encouraging that a little bit.
Merry motherfucking Christmas.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.